Hey, Brandon, it's Dr. Chris Colbert, and I want to say, keep being you.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Keep Being You podcast. We believe in the power of kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose to make a real difference in the world. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Colbert, and together we're diving deep into stories, insights, and conversations that uplift and inspire. Whether you're an educator, leader, or simply someone who believes in creating positive impact, this podcast is your space to connect, reflect, and grow. So sit back, tune in, and keep being you because you are exactly what the world needs. I'm so grateful that you are here today.
Today, we're talking about generational differences and kindness. I had some book recommendations made to me not too long ago. The New Kind of Diversity by Tim Elmore was a great recommendation that I received, as well as Generation IY, also by Tim Elmore, as another book that I received. And I thought they were great. I haven't dove all the way into IY yet, but I have started reading The New Diversity, and I'll tell you, it's really eye-opening and really enlightening around the various generations with which we're working and which we're leading, and talks about different things. We're going to unpack that today in our podcast. I'm going to talk about 11 steps to connect with Gen Z and Gen Alpha based on some of the findings and then some of my own research too, right? Correlated some of that. And then also ways in which we can build strong teams. I was really taken aback by one of the comments that Tim Elmore makes in the book and talks about how the diversity that we navigate in our workplaces are not only related to race, culture, sexual orientation, ethnic backgrounds, but they're also generational. And Tim Elmore unpacks what those different generations look like, right? And so talks about how baby boomers are a certain way, Gen X is a certain way, all of these individuals are a certain way. So it talks about how we have the builders, the silent generation from 1929 to 1945. Very, very conservative mindset. The role of work was for a means of living, right? Their sense of identity was they were humble and they were seeking to stabilize for a view of the future, according to Tim Elmore's research here. The boomers wanted 1946 to 1964, central focus, had a sense of identity that I'm valuable and that they had to create their own future. Gen X, 1965 to 1982, they had a central caring role of relationships. They're self-sufficient. They're skeptical of the future. Millennials, which is what I am, 1983 to 2000, talks about how work is a place to serve, right? They're rooted in a sense of service, which makes sense as we unpack some of the characteristics that they exhibit. Their fear of this future is YOLO, right? You only live once. And then now we have Generation Z, which is 2001 to 2015. Work is their hobby. They are fluid and they operate with the mindset of FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And so Elmore talks about how those understandings of those different generations or those differences significantly impact our way in which we show up and lead and how we work. Unpacking the way in which millennials operate, how Gen Z operate, how Gen X operate, how baby boomers operate. But then in addition, we have Gen Alpha that's now in this mix as well. And so Tim Elmore talks about how in some spaces there may be five or six different generations that are working together. And so when I was reading this and I was getting excited in correlation to reading Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek that I'm doing for my innovative leadership class at Oklahoma City University, I got really excited about unpacking some of these things. And so one of the things I want to turn our attention to first are the 11 steps in which we're connecting with Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Gen Z and Gen Alpha are the current generation that we're serving in most of our schools today. But then in addition, Gen Z are also some of our teachers, some of the individuals that we're working with. And so as we dive into these steps, as always, I want to start off in gratitude by saying I'm super grateful that we're having this conversation and that individuals have affirmed some of this research and some of the topics that I've carried and had conversations about along the way. But I'm also incredibly grateful that there's so much research out there so we can be intentional about connecting with individuals. And so as we move forward, I want us to have the same mindset of treat others the way we want to be treated, right? We want to have that golden rule as we operate through this because it is a paradigm shift. It is a mindset shift. All right, so step number one, actively listen and set personal goals. Our students today, our individuals today need help setting goals more than ever, right? They need to learn the power of grit, perseverance, and tenacity to reach their goals, because it's in that experience that they will be able to take those characteristics with them in the long run. And I get it. It's like another thing. But as adults, we have to create that experience for them. I was sharing in a recent blog that there's ways in which we can use Mondays as goal setting days, right? That's not unique to school. That's in any collective space. How do we use goal setting Mondays to encourage students or individuals to write goals about themselves academically or personally, and then share them to get feedback and be held accountable? And then on Friday, we reflect on how we did on that and measure our progress, right? This sounds minuscule and maybe something that doesn't seem academic focused, but it's so important for our students because they don't have this opportunity living in such a tech-driven world. And so anytime we can actively listen to individuals and set personal goals, help them set personal goals and give feedback is critical. And number two, connect our learning and the work that we're doing to a purpose. As I shared with you in the opening, Gen Z feels a millennial feel a sense of purpose, right? They want to work as more than just doing the thing, but it has to have an impact and a purpose. It has to explain why. I also hear from a lot of educators that get frustrated when students ask why when they make a certain decision. I don't see it as a sign of disrespect. We've asked individuals to be inquisitive for years. I remember myself growing up, right? My mom, my dad, my stepdad, my stepmom, my grandparents all asking me to ask the questions why. Don't take it for face value, but be inquisitive and do your own research. Do your own understanding of what's going on. Now we're in that society that our kids do that all the time and we find it disrespectful. That's not the case. That comes from a place of understanding. So when kids ask us, or individuals, Gen Z, Gen A, ask us, why related to a decision or an outcome, it's not disrespectful. They're seeking to understand and they're trying to make connections. So anytime that we can move learning or a project to doing more for the individual, doing more of the heavy lifting, and the leader or the teacher being more of the facilitator, it really cultivates that in that space that's connected the learning or connected the work to the individual.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. At Orange Sparrow, we believe that every person deserves to feel valued, heard, and inspired. Whether they're in the classroom, the workplace, or in their community, we're here to make that happen. As experts in kindness-centered leadership and culture building, we specialize in transforming environments to foster kindness, empathy, empowerment, and trust. Our services are designed to meet the unique needs of today's world. With tailored consulting, coaching, and workshops, Orange Sparrow equips educators, leaders, and organizations with practical tools to reach and connect with today's generation, like Gen Z and Gen Alpha. We help build connections, strengthen trust, and create spaces where everyone can thrive. We're here to empower, whether it's through dynamic speaking engagements, transformative coaching, or hands-on training. Orange Sparrow is committed to creating a positive impact that lasts. Ready to bring kindness, trust, and empowerment into your respective space? Let's make a difference together. Orange Sparrow, where every voice matters and every action counts. If you can't find the light, be the light. Contact Orange Sparrow today. And friends, we're back to the episode of Keep Being You.
Term celebrations. I talked about earlier how we're going to incorporate these daily activities and actions into our classroom or our respective spaces to help them lose helplessness and have that resiliency that we're looking for. But in addition, they need some kind of something they're working towards. They need that extrinsic motivator that's going to help them know they're cultivating not only responsible characteristics, but they're achieving things that they're working towards. And so maybe a weekly win or a weekly challenge that you do in the classroom or with your colleagues or at the workspace that allows them to achieve something and then get recognition as well. This helps them know that what they're giving effort towards and what they're working towards is not without with reward, right? And I know that's hard for some people because it's like, we should just do the thing because we're supposed to do the thing. Unfortunately, that's not the way this generation works. They want to know there's a connection and there's something in it for them. If you've not read some of the books that I referenced at the start of the show, I want to make sure that you have those, that opportunity to go back and read them. But they talk about, even in the book, about how Gen Z and millennials were part of the movement around college athletes being paid, right? And they talked about different generations, Gen X, baby boomers, and their insights and their philosophies parallel to that to Gen Z and millennial. And friends, they're vastly different. And so it's the same concept here. Our students need, or our individuals need, some kind of recognition on the way to keep going. Number four, collective focus on we. We have to move away from me to a focus of we. How do we make sure that we have a foundation of meaning, of living meaningful lives, but being of service not only to ourselves, with other individuals. We have to move away from that focus of it's all about me, but making sure that we're focused on our community and those around us, and we're all rooted in service, because it truly does take all of us collectively to make the world go around. And so how do we have students work together as a class on character traits, or as a team, or as a collaborative group, or whatever it may be? We can't assume that our students have these foundational competencies. Rather, we have to ensure that we explicitly teach these, and these are so evident within our respective spaces. Next, elevate voice and choice. Our students, our Gen Z Gen Alpha babies, want to be seen, heard, valued, and respected just like as adults. We as humans, and I've said this before, collectively want to feel those things in order to feel safe. When we're safe, we're more likely to take risks and be innovative in our thinking and our collaborative efforts, which is so important for not only adults, but for our students too. So anytime you can elevate voice and choice in decision-making or assignments or learning experiences, please do so. Please remember that this also allows students to feel safe. This also makes sure that they feel confident and comfortable in showing up the mastery of the content or demonstrating their idea or learning, because we know that not all students learn the same way, right? Same for our individuals who work. Not all individuals work the same way. We have to find our unique ways in which we show up. So it's about leveraging strengths. Anytime we can elevate voice and choice, we're leveraging strengths, which is so, so, so critical for development of our Gen Z and Gen A. Next, build personal values. Because our students and our Gen Z and our Gen Alpha babies are living in a tech-driven society, we have to make sure that we're giving them some kind of values, right? We know that when we're looking for validation, affirmation, or some kind of connection in social media, and we're looking for likes, comments, shares, interactions on social media posts to know that we add value to a space, we're more likely to lead with parasocial relationships or feel a lack of connection, of human connection, because we're doing it through a digital way. And so anytime that we can help Gen Z and Gen A see value they bring to respective spaces, but also learn the key values of being kind, respectful, and responsible, it is foundational. And so at the end of each lesson, how can you have students reflect on their learning? But at the beginning of each lesson, how can you start with 60 seconds of mindfulness breathing to recenter everyone? How can you take 60 seconds of gratitude where individuals say 3 to 5 things for which they're grateful, right? And then they remember, they reflect on that at the end as well to measure their progress and find gratitude in each experience. This helps them build values. Friends, this isn't unique just to a classroom setting. This can be applied into an office. This can be applied into any kind of learning space, no matter where it may be. Relationships are foundational. So next, we're going to talk about building trust in relationships. I love the quote that Tim Elmore uses in the book. He says, build a relationship with them before expecting trust. And it's so true. And so the way I frame it is we have to build trusting relationships. We have to foster relationships before expecting trust, as Tim Elmore said. But our students want to know that someone cares about them, that someone sees them, that someone will show up for them. And friends, that's not unique to our students. That's anyone. Because we made a shift in the workspace as well, like as I unpacked with you at the start of the show with our millennial and our Gen Z, that's the same thing. They want to know that someone sees them and cares for them, even in the workspace, which is a total different paradigm shift for some of the individuals who are leading respective spaces today. We know that relationships take time and they are foundational. So many of our students have experienced high levels of trauma. We talked a little bit about on our last episode about trauma and ACE scores. But so since so many of them carry high levels of ACE scores and trauma, we have to be mindful as well that some of our children have cried at home alone and no one has been there to comfort them. And when that happens, that leads to being more difficult for them to trust adults or other individuals because they have fostered their own independence. And so we have to implement some kind of daily check-in or engage in one-on-one conversations with Gen Z and Gen A. And it can be as simple, friends, as asking, how are you? And then actively listening to how they respond. You want to greet students at the door each day by their name, right? Or you want to engage with colleagues and say, hey, Sally Jo Freebush. And if you don't know me well enough, you're going to by the end of this podcast. But Sally Jo Freebush is a fun name that I love to use in lieu of everything, right? It makes you smile, makes you giggle. It is from Miss Congeniality with a modified version. But that's the point. We want to make sure that every student feels a sense of belonging and safety, which is critical to the learning process. When they feel safe and they feel like they belong in the learning process or in the workspace, right? I'm trying to lean this in both respective spaces because I know that we have Generation Z and Generation Alpha in both respective spaces. Well, not Alpha in the workspace yet, but they're coming soon, right? Just like I shared last time, Generation Beta is coming in 2030. So think about it. We potentially could have 6 to 7 different generations working in a respective space, which is a cultural difference if we don't understand the mindset of working with Gen Z and Gen A, which is why it's so important that if we want to reach and teach them or work with them, we have to understand them. They're looking for high belief and high expectations. They're looking for validation and affirmation from the work that they're doing. They want to know that they have strengths and they have assets that are brought to the respective space and other individuals see it. So as adults, we are the dealers of hope and belief. We have to help them learn, grow, and triumph over challenges and successes despite the circumstances that may be built there, which is why I've talked about perseverance, tenacity, grit, all of those key components. So as I shared with them earlier, when our students are writing their mindfulness opening and they're doing their gratitude and they're reflecting, we also can incorporate affirmations, just 3 or 5 affirmations that remind the students or that remind the individual or the employee of the value they add to their classroom, to their peers, right? We have to also pour hope and wisdom and belief and encouragement individuals throughout the day to ensure that we celebrate students or individuals as they grow. Using growth as an opportunity for success is so powerful. We can't see failure and setback as failure and a setback, but as a learning opportunity of how we can approach it differently next time, right? That takes vulnerability from us as being the teacher or the leader, or whatever respective role is. But as we are vulnerable and share how we've navigated challenges, we've navigated failures, as we've navigated those things, we can then give those same stories and experiences to our students or our workers or whatever the Gen Z, Gen A relationship may be in our respective space. We can apply the same understanding so that we can work along with them, right? The next key component I'm going to talk to you about is the power with approach. Long gone are the days of kings and queens, of ruling kingdoms and classrooms and workspaces where this is where it's going to be because I said. Today's students, millennials, Gen Z, Gen A, don't work that way. They want to know there's a power with approach. And I know that's a mindset and a paradigm shift for so many, but it's not disrespectful. It's the way in which we as adults have navigated this world to bring them up this way. So I think about ways in which we can leverage their voice to ask them, how do we get your feedback? How do we make the spaces better for you to ensure that you feel like you have a voice in this space? And one of the activities that I love is the keep, start, stop, where we get feedback on the respective space, and then we're vulnerable and share that feedback, and then make plans to ensure that everyone has a voice and choice so that we have that power with approach, which is so foundational. In addition to some of these key components we've talked about, creating ownership in the collective space and creating collective service is really important for today's learners and for today's workers, right? Gen Z and Gen A need to know they have ownership in collective service, where we've moved again from that we to me, and that we have jobs and responsibilities in the classroom and or in our workspaces, so that everyone knows that we're all working towards a common goal. We have a common vision, a common something, right? We're all working in unison, that all of our, as people like to say, so all of our oars are rowing in the same direction, right? The boat is moving in the same direction. If we're not moving in the same direction and we all don't see how we all tie into this collective space, creating that ownership and service, then it causes destruction and chaos. The other way creates unity and community and cohesion for all. And so we want to make sure that we're intentional about the tasks that we're doing to ensure responsibility, to ensure ownership, and restore service to others. Be flexible as our Gen Z and Gen A show responsibility. In work, if they're showing responsibility, perhaps you can look at flexible options for working from home or a more modified schedule. And a school space, maybe they can have a chance to set with a different individual. They can choose their workspace. They can find a friend. They can have a flexible due date. At the university level, I let students have flexible due dates all the time to meet the needs of their schedule as they've demonstrated responsibility throughout the course of the semester. It's the same way. We want to make sure that we're showing students that we see them growing behaviorally, academically, socially, emotionally, whatever it may be. That's not only being kind to them, but it's showing kindness to them and allowing them to be kind to themselves as well, which is foundational. These 11 steps, friends, are ways in which we can be intentional and connect with Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Because they are not only our students, but they too are our workforce. And I think about ways in which we're all having to work together. I think about Gen Z and millennials working in workspaces with Gen X and baby boomers. But I also think about our schools and other institutions that have students that are Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and then you have millennials and Gen Z teaching, right? So you've got millennials and Gen Z's teaching Gen Z, but you also have baby boomers and Gen X, millennials and Gen Z, all teaching Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And so when I say that, you have potentially 5 different generations that are working collectively together. So how do you build strong, cohesive teams while still being kind to one another? Because again, as I shared at the top of the show, we are rooted in we're going to treat others the way we want to be treated, because that is the foundation of getting respect. And I know I had this conversation, I think I shared this last episode as well, but someone talked about how respect is respect is where the foundation, and I was sharing with that individual that respect is a two-way street, and it starts by treating others the way you want to be treated. I can be vulnerable with you. If someone comes at me hot and bothered and yelling and frustrated, it's going to be hard for me to give them a different energy. I'm going to do my best to do it, right? I'm going to dig down deep and I'm going to be really kind to that individual, but I can't say that it's not going to recall some trauma from my childhood that I may not even know that's going to come up. I feel like I've healed it, but it may come up, right? That's the same thing. We need to treat others the way we want to be treated, especially as we navigate generational differences, generational mindsets, generational perspectives, and build strong cohesion teams. And so here are five ways in which we can build unity and connection across generations, no matter what, while still being kind. And this is rooted in, and the five things that I say that we need to do to build unity and connection are humility, respect, curiosity, empathy, and kindness, right? Those are the five things. Humility is to embrace the learning from all of our team members. When each team member is open to learning from others, regardless of age, experience, everyone benefits, right? We focus on growth, not a hierarchy. We avoid assumptions, and we actively listen. Those are foundational for humility, because when we listen, it screams humility and allows assume positive intent as you listen, right? You're being humble, but it's also encouraging vulnerability, because the individual who's sharing, who's listening from the perspective of other individuals, that person who's sharing is having to be vulnerable and tell their lived experiences. And so that's why we must be humble and listen and assume positive intent. But as I talked about just a moment ago with respect, we have to honor each team member's experience. Respect is the cornerstone of teamwork, and it fosters trust and strengthens connections. We have to seek to understand and don't assume. We have to celebrate all contributions, and we have to set the tone for mutual respect. Because when we do that, we're more likely to lead lives of curiosity, right? We're discovered those shared goals and those differences. Curiosity keeps the team dynamic, because that's when we start to create understanding and spark creativity. That's where people feel appropriate to fear, fall, fail, and to be innovative, because there's no repercussions on the other side, but rather using that as a learning opportunity, right? The leader or the teacher, whoever's in charge of that respective space, has encouraged that mindset that everything is a growth opportunity, which is so foundational. This is where we've encouraged questions to be asked. This is where we have rooted everything in continuous learning. And this is where we've fostered relationships in trust, so that we can collaborate with one another, have those hard conversations, be vulnerable, right? But still be curious. We can get our outcomes. We can get our findings. We can do some research. We can do some digging. And everything is safe, because we are just being curious to build background and connection to work as a unified team. The other two pieces I think are foundational: empathy. We have to understand and support each other's perspectives. And I love Brené Brown's quote, where she says, "Sympathy is really easy to say I'm sorry and move on, but empathy takes a lot of vulnerability as we dig down deep and find common connections that relate to other people," right? Empathy deepens team bonds by allowing members to see the world through others' eyes. Same for students, same for our students. We don't know their stories and their perspectives. And so as we hear their stories and we actively listen through humility and curiosity and some of the things we previously talked about, it helps us see the world through their eyes and helps us create a supportive environment where they feel seen, heard, valued, and even understood, right? Do this through those regular check-ins. Hey, how are you? Do you need something? How are you feeling? Can I offer you any support? Be vulnerable. As they share experiences, it's okay to say, I'm sorry. You can even relate back to say, I may not even know what you're going through necessarily, but I can recall this experience that I have that's similar. I had to share that earlier with a friend of mine who's going through some rough stuff with a family member. And I could recall similar situations from my own childhood to say, this is what happened when it was in my experience, right? It doesn't look the exact same, but there is similarity. And so we can make those connections to let individuals know they're not walking this life alone. We all have had hardships. They look differently, or some don't. They might look the same. But how do we connect with one another vulnerably through our regular check-ins to encourage perspective taking, to ensure that we see the lens or the world through someone else's eyes? And friends, last but not least, I think the one that strengthens team bonds the most is kindness, because it's rooted through genuine care, right? It's creating that positive and collaborative environment. It's that celebrating growth and contribution. It's building that culture of support. It encourages risk-taking. It's treating others the way you want to be treated. And I share all this with you today because I think it's foundational as we're working with young people in schools, as we're working with young people in workspaces, as we're working with young people across the respective work that we're all doing collectively to move the world forward. I say thank you. I'm grateful for you. And I'm thank you for your service to what you do each and every day. And I hope you listen today with an open mind and open heart to figure out how you can connect with individuals that may be different with you. And today I shared with you specific strategies and insights related to kindness and understanding with Gen Z and Gen Alpha. But these same attributes and strategies can be applied to any workforce with any generation, with any kind of understanding, to ensure that we're seeking to understand and we're building that common background. Because what we'll know in relationships is that there's a lot more of us together that have similarities than differences. And so as we depart today and as you go on your walk with kindness and you being you, because as I always share, you are exactly what the world needs, I want you to take away two or three things that you can do differently in the next couple of days in regards to connecting with individuals who may be different than you. How can you apply these same strategies, or how can you apply these same takeaways to your respective spaces or to your respective relationships? Or perhaps you have a friend or a colleague you haven't talked to in a while because it's been hard to connect with. How do you apply this with them? How do we ensure that this is not only used for or perceived in that mindset of deficit of just Gen Z and Gen Alpha, but how do we apply this on a global scale to connect with others that may be different for us? And so friends, that's my challenge to you. I want you to connect with individuals that may be different than you. And I want you to begin to realize that the differences are not within us, but they are between us. And it's our responsibility to ask questions and engage one another to begin to realize that there's so much that we have in common with one another. As long as we're kind to one another, we seek to understand, and we treat others the way we want to be treated. Until next time, I want you to keep being you, because you are exactly what the world needs. And we will see you on the next episode of the podcast.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Keep Being You. I hope you found a little extra kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose to carry with you today. Remember, being you is exactly what the world needs and is the best thing for yourself and the world around you. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and even leave a review. This helps more amazing people like you find us. And of course, stay tuned for our next episode. Until then, keep shining bright and know that I'm incredibly grateful that you were here with us today.